You're listening to a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more audio and visual content, visit streamschurch.org.
Vision and values, we do this every year too, and I wanted to do something a little different this time. Instead of just giving you one-liners of who we are, and every church has sort of these one-liners, instead of giving you one-liners, I just want to talk about why we do some of the things we do that might be different than where you've come from or churches that you think about. So that's why we wanted to talk about this. So last week we talked about how we don't take offerings and how we try not to put pressure on people for giving. And the reason is that we believe that you should give because God's faithful. And if you're convinced of that and you see God's stuff the way you see your stuff the way God sees your stuff, you'll give. If you'll understand that the reason you have stuff, that God's blessed you with anything, is because he believes it's a temporary tool to be used for his kingdom. And that's what we learned last week. So if you get that, we don't have to put pressure on anybody to give, because that would be. So we would rather you understand that, and that's why we do finances the way we do finances. Today we're going to talk about something you probably don't hear about a lot in church anymore, that we live the way we live a different life because heaven is real. Or we should live like heaven is real, and it is real. So the reality of heaven should regulate the way that we live on this earth. The scriptures, 1 Timothy 6, we're going to be in several scriptures, 6, 17 through 19. I'm going to read you the first part, and Paul is telling a young pastor how to deal with very well-off people in his church. So verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. So the people that have a lot, they enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with that, as long as they recognize that what they're doing, what they have, is from God. It says, command them. It's a command. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of life that is truly life. And Paul is telling Timothy, there's a tendency to think that all the great stuff we have on this earth, all the pleasures, all the enjoyment, that this is the end all. And he says, let them know that's not true at all. This is just temporary. It's not even a good foundation. We think, when we have all the money we need, we're going to be a firm foundation. And he's saying the treasure of this world is not a firm foundation. The treasures in heaven, that's a firm foundation. The life you think you live here, that's not true life. Let me tell you, it's true life is when you get to heaven. So he says, command them to do good and have this understanding in their mind, in their heart, that I live this life because I understand there's a coming age. There's a heaven in the reality. So I live differently in this life because of my understanding. And when I first came to faith, the theology of heaven was really thick in the church. And it was in the hills of Arkansas. And we sang songs. We talked about heaven. When I first came to save, my goal in life was to tell everybody I know so that I could get them to heaven also. And so I learned the Romans Road to Salvation. 5 scriptures. Anybody memorize it? I had to memorize when I was 15 years old. So I could go to people and go, this is what this means. And God's, and just lead them down a pathway so they could receive Christ as their Savior. I knew the 4 spiritual laws. I had everything down and memorized. In college, I would go to Brown University every Saturday, and I'd argue with them that God was real, and they'd argue against God being real, and we talked. And then we always sang songs about heaven, like every service. Like, sing the wondrous love of Jesus, sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions bright and blessed, He'll prepare for us a place. Do you know it? When we all get to heaven. You don't know this? Yeah, you're too young. What a day of rejoicing that will be when we all see Jesus. We'll sing and shout the victory. How many say that's good? Some bright morning when this life is over. Not bad, not bad, not bad. Then the last one. In the sweet. We shall meet on that beautiful shore. Ronco Records presents Hymns of Heaven, as sung by Lloyd Baker. Available on iTunes, right? How many people would go and I'd buy you? I'd buy that. Yeah, Hymns of Heaven, sung by Lloyd Baker. And then the 1980s came. And all of a sudden, America became very wealthy and prosperous. And all of a sudden, a lot of the I'm just working hard so I can get to heaven philosophy got changed to God's going to bless me on this earth. And I think God does bless us. But all of a sudden that replaced it. The riches of this world became very big to the church, or a lot of the teaching. And I want to say the riches of this earth, nothing wrong with them, but they're not a firm foundation. See? It doesn't last. This isn't life. And we may live a great life on earth and God may bless us, but this isn't true life. And so the writer's saying to this, tell those who are well off on this earth to remember these things. We are to live our lives differently because of our understanding of heaven and even rewards. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians. We're going to read a couple different scriptures, bounce around a little bit because it's a long chapter. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and this is verse 9. And he's sort of talking about the resurrection of Christ, and like the song, that we will rise again because of him, and we rise because of him. And he says in verse 19, If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If it's just Christ in this life, it says, if the dead, verse 32, if the dead are not raised, let us drink, for tomorrow we die. And then verse 33, don't be misled, bad company corrupts good character. Come back to your senses as you ought and stop sinning. And Paul is saying this to Corinthians. He said, you know what? If all we have in this life is disciplining our life, if that's what we're doing, if all we're doing is sacrificing our life because in heaven isn't real, people should pity us, not because we believe wrong, not because of something false, but we have so changed the way that we live our life based on what we think about heaven, that if it's not real, we should be pitied, because in reality, if it's not real, let's do like everybody else. Let's eat and drink and party and just going around doing whatever we want to do with no consequences for the future. And he says this, he goes, don't think that way, because there's going to be friends of yours who are going to want you to think that way. Or you believe in heaven, and they're corrupting, and they're going to say, let's do this. He goes, stop it, don't think that way, and stop sinning. And that was his answer. And then verse 58, he did wraps it all up. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm, let nothing move you, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor here for the Lord is not in vain. It says, don't think that way. You stay on course. You keep working hard because you know that heaven's real. And the work that you do on this earth is not in vain. Paul is speaking of heaven, that we need to let it impact our lives today. Our labor is not in vain. Peter, in both his books, 1st and 2nd Peter, actually talks more about the resurrection than a lot of chapters. And when Jesus comes in heaven, and he talks about this. So we're going to read some scriptures out of 1st Peter. And I'm going to read it from the screen because I really like the NLT version. So prepare your minds for action. And he's talking about heaven and stuff like that before this. Prepare your minds for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. So you must live as God's obedient children. Don't slip back into your old ways of living to satisfy your own desires. You didn't know any better back then, but you do now. So you must be holy in everything you do, just as God who chose you is holy. For the scripture says, you must be holy because I'm holy. And remember that the Heavenly Father to whom you pray has no favorites. And it says this, He will judge or reward you according to what you do. So you must live in reverent fear of Him during your time here as temporary residents. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And let me talk about the two things that are mentioned here, because I don't want there to be any confusion today. This talks about the fact that we were ransomed, that we came into salvation, not by anything that we've done, but we were ransomed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, not by what we paid, not by what we had done. It's only through His blood and our acceptance of that and our belief in that, that we come into faith in Christ. Then it says, those of us who are believers, says we will then be rewarded according to what we have done after that. So it's two separate things. I think Ephesians chapter 2 says it best. It's a famous scripture about salvation. Let me find it. Here we go. Verse 8, you probably know this part. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast. It has nothing to do with what you can do. It's by accepting the sacrifice. People don't go to verse 10. Now, verse 10 says, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for you to do. Saved by faith, but then we then walk according to do good works." So I have a phrase that I think sums it up a little bit this way. What we believe determines where we will spend eternity, and how we behave determines how we will spend eternity. In my research, when it comes to eternal rewards, I've looked at all kinds of theologies, and those who believe in salvation by grace, they have different views sort of after that, maybe about eternal security, stuff like that. But one thing they all agree on is actually eternal rewards. Every theology you look at believe that there's some concept of eternal rewards. Matthew 6 is a Sermon on the Mount. It's interesting because Jesus contrasts the way the Pharisees follow religion and the way we should follow Jesus. And so he says a couple of things. He said, listen, when you give, don't let your right hand know what your left hand's doing. Doing it in secret. Don't brag about it. Don't blow a trumpet. Keep that to yourself. That's between you and God. He says, when you pray, don't stand on the corners and shout out like the Pharisees so that everybody can see how great of a man of prayer you are. Go into your closet and pray to your Father who sees in secret. And he says, when you fast, don't go around going, man, I've been fasting and I just don't feel good. And, you know, look how spiritual I am. I'm just dragging around. I'm fasting. Don't do that. He goes, when you fast, do that in secret. And he goes, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And he finally says this in verse 19 through 20. Do not, this is the culmination of everything. Verses 19 through 21 says, do not store for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He says, we live this life to store up treasures in heaven because that's where our heart should be. And heavenly rewards, I'll be honest with you, is a mystery to me. I don't know what they are. I don't know if I'll care when I get to heaven. I don't know if I'll care that I get to play a huge harp and the guy next to me is on a kazoo or something like that. I don't know. You know what I mean? Nice kazoo. I've got a harp. I don't know if that is but I think perhaps our lack of understanding of heaven, heaven and heavenly rewards comes from a misconception of heaven. And you see cartoons and you see movies like heaven is this nightclub and Peter's the bouncer outside, you know, the pearly gates, making sure some people don't get in or they don't get in. There's these people with white flowing robes on pillowy clouds. The Bible paints a much different picture of heaven. In fact, the scripture says that when at the end of the age, this earth will be wiped out and this heaven will be wiped out because this earth has been just filled with anger and sin. And so God will create a new heaven and a new earth. And the dimensions are crazy of the city of Jerusalem. Heaven is called the city, the new Jerusalem in the Bible. So the dimensions are this. It's 1,500 miles wide, 15 miles 100 long, and 1,500 miles high. To put that in perspective, you took the top of Idaho, Wyoming, whatever it is, North Dakota, and you came all the way down to the bottom of Texas, that's about 1,500 miles. That's the width of the city of Jerusalem alone, the new city. If you went from the coast of California to St. Louis, that's the length of the city of Jerusalem, the new city. And then it's that tall, too. And all the walls and all the gates have jewels in them, and the streets are lined with pure gold, and the throne of God will be in the middle of the city of New Jerusalem. And a river will flow out. It will be the river of life, and along the river will be the tree of life. And it says the tree of life will have 12 fruits that are always in season. No need for a sun, no need for a moon. You never have to work, you're never going to get sick, you'll never cry, no more pain, no more grief. There's going to be perfect harmony. The lion lays down next to the lamb. Imagine a place where there's no conflict or disagreements or ethnic cleansing or fear of terrorists or wars. Your bodies will no longer be sick, no pain. It says we get a new body. I'm going to be ripped. My six-pack's going to have a six-pack. I know this. Imagine a perfect earth with breathtaking scenery, with a city that's 1,500 miles wide and deep and high and long. No matter what your mind can imagine, this is what the book of Corinthians says. No eye has seen, No ear has heard, no human mind conceived the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. You can take whatever you think, it won't even come close. The idea of eternal rewards, if you think about a new heaven and an earth and all these things, like a brand new, it might come into play. I don't know. But this is what I do know is Paul, Peter, Jesus, and all the scriptures make a big deal about eternal rewards. So if it's a big deal to them, it should be a big deal to me. And it should change the way that I live life. I'm going to show you just a sample of scriptures that show this. Matthew 16:27 says this, "For the Son of Man is going to come in His Father's glory with His angels, and then He will reward each person according to what they've done." 1 Corinthians 3:8, "The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their own labor." Luke 6, "Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man," because of the way of following Jesus. "Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven." Luke 14, "But when you give a banquet," I love this one, "invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. And although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." And finally, in Revelation, it says this, "Look, I'm coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done." These scriptures are talking about believers, many of them. And he's saying, I'm going to come back. And what you believe determines where you're going to spend eternity. But how you behave determines how you spend eternity. And this is one of the things that we will do differently at this church. It's just not our goal to get you to heaven. It's our goal to see heaven lived in your life on earth. It's our goal to see you discipled into a way of living that honors God and His sacrifice and lets other people know that there is something beyond this life. That's the way that you live. It impacts other people. Holy lives that bring honor to Jesus Christ. And so people are going to get in your lives. They're going to ask questions. We're going to encourage one another to go forward the way that we do. If you've ever played team sports, sometimes it can be frustrating, because in a team sport, it only takes one pitcher to have an off night and you lose. It only takes one quarterback to not be on his game and the whole team loses. And then you can even win and they're off their game and they still get the same championship ring that you get. And that can be frustrating. And when it comes to, listen, when it comes to salvation, that's a different thing. In fact, Jesus even tells a parable about it. He talks about a parable where he's going out, a man's going out, and he's hiring people. And the very early of the day, he says, I'm going to hire you, and I'm going to pay you $100 for the day's work. And then at the end of the day, they're not getting everything done. He goes down an hour before they're going to be done and hires another man at the same price. And the first man says, hey, that's not fair that you paid us the same amount. And Jesus said, who is that to you? That's talking about salvation. Here's what I know. I came to faith at 15. And I've given my heart and my life to serving Christ. There will be some people that on their deathbed give their heart to Jesus Christ. We both get to go to heaven. And thank God for that. That's what's talking about. What that guy's missing out on is I get to live a life of impact for Jesus Christ. It's wonderful, it's powerful that when you're living on point, you're doing what God asks you to do, and you're touching lives, you get to bring people with you to heaven. And you're rewarded for that type of life. We both get to go to heaven, but there's something special and powerful, and that's what I want for you in our church. We both to get to heaven and live a fulfilled life. I have no idea what that looks like. So don't ask me. So what is that like? I don't know if they get a pet armadillo and you get the San Diego Zoo in the backyard. I don't know if that, you know what I mean? Can we come over and play with the baby cub lions? Yeah, go ahead, have fun. I don't know what that means. I don't know if they're going to drive different. They're going to run around on a scooter and you get a Maserati, whatever it's called, a new BMW. I don't know. I'm joking around. I have no idea. But the scriptures make a huge deal about it. Here is a vivid picture of a life that God rewards, and it's found in the New Testament scripture. It says, God rewards those who seek Him through spiritual acts of praying and fasting. God rewards those who submit to their employees. Our work ethic and attitude is a huge reflection on our faith in Jesus Christ. God rewards those who deny their self in service to His kingdom. God rewards those who are generous and serve the less fortunate. God rewards those who share their time, talents, and finances to further this kingdom. God rewards those. And here's the thing, is I don't get any more special props just because I'm a pastor. The scripture is very clear about a couple of things. Number one is we all have received unique gifts from the Father. Each one of us has a unique gift. And we are, no gift is greater than any other gift. It just so happens that I like to talk a lot. And if you hang out with me outside of church, you know, I like to talk. I can dominate conversations sometimes. I also have a bit of an entrepreneur spirit. I started my own business at one time. I'm that type of guy that likes to go get it. So I think God was saying, you know what? I need a church in the West Valley. I need a guy who likes to talk a lot and a guy who's an entrepreneur. Anybody know? You know, yeah, well, Lloyd's got a big mouth and he's a go-getter. Why don't we take his gifts and put them out here and start this church? I don't get any better props, more props than the person who says, you know what? Some of you here are great business people. You know how to make money. And that's your talent and that's your gift. And your job is to fund the kingdom of God and to help the less fortunate. Some of you here love holding babies and you can jump and dance in the river. See, and we have a place for you to help our children learn about Jesus Christ. That's your talent, your gift. God gave it to you. Some are very gregarious. You like to draw people to you and they're attracted to you. We have small group leaders that's where God can use you. Wisdom. Some have wisdom and they're right now over there speaking into the lives of younger families. We have marriage mentoring class to say, let me help you. I have wisdom about marriage. Let me use that and speak that into your life. Music, worship, faith, love, praying. We all have unique gifts. The benchmark is not your gift. The benchmark is faithfulness and motivation for what God rewards. God rewards your motivation. It should come from a pure heart and your faithfulness. Are you faithful to do what God has asked you to do? My motivation is to one day when I get to heaven, the Father to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. I gave you talents. I gave you gifts. You used them for the good of the kingdom while you were on earth. Welcome to eternity, my good and faithful servant. And that should be the motivation of all of us. To me, rewards are like icing on the cake of heaven. But I do love me some icing on my cake. You can relive for rewards of this earth, but they only last a short moment. C.S. Lewis said this, "It is since Christians have largely ceased to think about the other world that they have become so ineffective in this one." And he understood that we live differently when we understand heaven. Randy Alcorn wrote the book, Heaven Says, "Heaven should affect our activities and ambitions, our recreation and friendships, and the way we spend our money and time." And it streams, we do the things we do where we have discipleship and we have mentoring classes. We have small groups. We don't want just to get you to heaven. We want to create disciples on this earth that are using their gifts and talents and an understanding that God has called them to do it. And one day, we will be rewarded in heaven for what we've done on earth. And that to us is important that we all understand that we live the way we live because heaven is real. And it should change everything in our life. We're going to close out in prayer. If you would join me in standing, we'll have our worship team come forward. And there's something that I like to do. I like to be visual sometimes. It helps me connect the dots with what God's speaking to my heart and what I should be doing. So if you feel comfortable in sort of cupping your hands as we begin to pray, would you just put what you believe is your gifts and your talents there and say, God, I recognize right now that you've given me resources, talents, gifts, whatever that is, and it wasn't by accident. It's for a purpose. I accept that today. I choose to believe that today. And it doesn't really matter where I'm at in my life. You can use those for your kingdom and for your glory. And heaven's real, and I want to bring as many people as I can with me. So please teach me how to do that. Show me how you're using me, how these gifts and talents are from you. I choose today to live as if heaven's real, and it impacts my life. So give us grace, give us courage, give us strength. We give that to you, Father. To use. We are yours. And we thank you that we get to spend eternity with you and those who follow after you also. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been a podcast from Streams Church in the West Valley of Phoenix, Arizona. For more information, visit streamschurch.org.